outline passed out tonight that I'm going to follow. Anyone did not get one, raise your hand. Anybody? Right over here, ushers. Raise your hand high to get one. I want everybody to have one of these. Just hold your hand till they, right in here, did you get one? Okay. Anyone else need one? Okay. Well, it's good to be back here at Buffalo Ridge tonight, the pulpit, where I was for 46 years. Appreciate the church supporting me in my retirement, but I'm retired from this church, but not retired from preaching. I preached in Virginia last week, and went up at above up Norton. What's the name of that town? Where Angela's from, up in there, folks. Wise, Virginia. And then this Sunday, I preach at Bristol, so I'm just, where the Lord opens the door, I'm preaching and teaching in two Bible colleges, so I'm 84 yesterday. I'm starting my 85th year, and I'm going to keep on fighting the devil and these backslidden Baptists. The Lord takes me home, or so I don't have the health to get in the pulpit. But anyway, good to be here. It's a privilege. I've been at this thing 63 years now, and it's a privilege to preach and teach God's. Now, I'm going to preach and teach tonight. This is more of a teaching lesson. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you anoint your word. Lord, I admit before these people, before God, Lord, unless you help me, I can't preach. I found that out many years ago. When you help me, Lord, I can preach. And if you don't, Lord, I can't do it. So I ask you for your help tonight. Bless Brother Jody as he continues up there through Friday. And Lord, keep your hand on Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and on us tonight. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of John, the third chapter. John, the third chapter. And I'll be teaching tonight on the two natures. And we get this out of John 3 in Jesus' discussion with Nicodemus. We will pick up at verse 3, John 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, now that's the word of God, the word of God, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, this lesson on the two natures of man is very important. I've given this before in the church, and the Lord laid it on my heart to give it again because it's so vital. This study will help every Christian, but especially a young Christian. I didn't realize for years that I knew when I got saved, I still prone to sin. I wondered, I just need to pray more and be a better Christian. But then I found out that I had two natures. And that's what we, as soon as we understand that, then we can handle it better. But in John 3 here, verse 6, Jesus speaks of two types of man. First of all, he says that which is born of flesh is flesh. That's the human man. Is flesh. He's the natural man with fleshly human parents. Then there's a second nature, that which is born of spirit, of the capital S, Holy Spirit, is little spirit. And so that's the spiritual man, born spiritually, born of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. And it's important that a Christian understand this. It will cause him to not give up. If he understands, I'm dragging around an old flesh with me as I go down through life after I get born again. So we need to understand that. Now let's first of all look at the natural man. I want us to look at some of the characteristics or marks of the natural man. The natural man is lost. He is without God, without hope, without Christ. And The first characteristic that we see here is spiritual. He is a person that just had a fleshly birth and never had a spiritual birth, born of the Spirit, is in spiritual darkness. Turn in your Bibles. Now, I won't make you turn much tonight, but some you need to see this. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. In verses 17 and 18. Thus I say, and testify, Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, page 1253, if you got a Scofield reference Bible. I just had to get that in tonight. And you other compromisers that don't have a Scofield, you'll have to find it yourself. No, I'm just kidding on that. You know that. But anyway, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth. I know he's talking to Ephesian Christians. Henceforth walk not as the other unsaved Gentiles see walk in the vanity of mind. Now the unsaved, these people are saved people he's talking to. And he's talking then about the other Gentiles. They having, verse 18, having understanding darkened, those that hadn't been saved, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Boy, that's pretty tough, isn't it? Now that's not Preacher Lashley, that's the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit's author of this. Through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Folks, I mean, a lost person, I mean, they may be a nice person, but they've been born again. That describes them right there. Though they're in spiritual darkness apart from God, in spiritual ignorance. And when you come to Christ, you come to life and light. And Satan's kingdom is the kingdom of darkness. And if a person goes on in spiritual darkness without coming to Christ, the light, then if they die that way, they'd be in eternal darkness, which is the second death. So that's the first thing. Then second, I'm going to move on because I've got a big outline to follow here. And these are good. Now I'm teaching and I'm going to preach a little bit to you, but I'm teaching tonight. Number two, the natural man cannot understand spiritual things. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verses 13 and 14. Page 12, 13. 1 Corinthians 2, 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Well, the Holy Ghost can teach us a lot of good things. Man will get you in trouble if you follow man too close without their teaching in the Spirit. At that which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14. Now the natural man, the unsaved man that's never been born again, receiveth not the things of the capital Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. So you can go to Ambassador College, Baptist College, or Pensacola, or West Coast, or Crown, or Bob Jones, or anywhere. They'll give you the facts. But folks, only the Holy Spirit can give you spiritual understanding. And that's what we need. And what I need, and a pastor, whatever, we all need it. You need it to be a good daddy, a good mama. You need to be a good Christian. You need that. Then let me move on. The second characteristic is the natural man is a child of wrath. We're back in Ephesians 2 here. I've already read that, but we'll look. Notice in verse 1, and you who hath, Paul's talking to the Ephesians now, that you hath he quickened. The Holy Spirit had quickened them. They'd been born again. And they were, but who were dead, you're quickened now, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. See, the natural man is a fleshly man and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And John 3 says, he that believeth on the Son hath life, and he that believeth not shall not see life. And what happens? The wrath of God, if they've never been saved, the wrath of God abides on them. Every moment an unsaved person rejects Christ and not born of the Spirit, the wrath of God abides on them. Then let's move on. They're in rebellion against God. I'm just going to tell you that Romans 8:7 says here, the carnal mind, the carnal means fleshly. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Now, you would think that they could be a nice person, but they're in the flesh, and they're in enmity against God. Every unsaved person is really a rebel against God because he has not raised the white flag of surrender to become a child of God. And that's why I like to have an altar, a mourner's bench. They used to have mourner's benches when I was a boy, called a mourner's benches, an altar. But you can get saved standing up, sitting down, lying down, but I like to see a person come and get on their knees right there. That's humbling yourself before God. That's what we need. You can't walk in and pride and get saved. You got to humble yourself before God. That's why I like to see people get down. And so we're in rebellion. And when you get on your knees, it sort of makes you putting up the white flag, doesn't it? Then let's move on. Moral, a description of, I want you to turn to that in Romans. Turn to Romans, the 3rd chapter. Moral description of the natural man. It's not very pretty. Look at verse 9. Romans 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Now he's talking. Let's move on here. Now, no, in no wise. We have before proved that both Jews and Gentiles, that they're all under sin. Everybody's under sin till they get born again. As it's written, there's not one. I don't care how nice, I don't care how sweet they are, if they've been born again, they're none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Then I'm not going to read on. And right there has been called anatomy of a lost soul. We won't go into all of that. But every unsaved person is a rebel against God until he has, well, I'm getting back up on number 4. That's a moral description of a natural man. Then, again, we got in Ephesians 2:1, we won't go back to that. I'll turn back to it. Let me read that again because that is so important. And you hath he quickened who were dead. Now these are talking to Ephesian Christians. You who hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses. And by the way, I could say that tonight. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. If the Holy Spirit has quickened you, you're saved. But you were in dead in trespasses and sin. Spiritually dead. And then the destiny of the natural man. Let me see we've got a time schedule tonight, but I wanted to get all this in if I could. The destiny of the natural man. Romans 6:23, you don't turn to it. The wages of sin is what? Death. Death. If you go on as a natural man and die in a natural death, then the wages of sin is death. Now the thing is, you've got to be born twice or you just have to die once. But if you're born just once, you'll die twice. You'll die here and you'll suffer the eternal death, the second death, which is the lake of fire. Then if you're born twice, you don't have to die once. And I believe we're living close to the Lord. We might get to cheat death. Old Dr. Lakin, how he always wanted to cheat death. But I went to Lynchburg where they buried him, and I saw the undertaker get him. And if the Lord tarries, and I believe it's coming tonight, I don't know when it's come. He might not be come for another 100 years, I don't know. I believe it's soon, though. But those are 7 good reasons why we ought to try to win souls to Christ right there. 7 good reasons. Now let's look at the spiritual man. The natural man has human parents, and the spiritual man has what kind of parents? The spiritual man. He has divine parents. You know, the conception of the natural man and the spiritual man, you know, the conception is similar. It's essential to understand that. When a baby is born physically, and when a babe is born in Christ, notice how it's similar. The Holy Spirit is the Father. The Holy Spirit has to speak to their heart. They open their heart. Then to the Word of God, and the Word of God's planted, and that's the seed. And the Holy Spirit's the Father. The womb is the human heart, our mother, and the seed that's planted in the heart by the Holy Spirit. When you receive it, you're born again of the Word of God. Now the Holy Ghost must, now here's what happens when a person's born again. The Holy Ghost, now I've taken a lot of people down to Romans Road and did get saved in more Khrushchev. But when the Holy Ghost takes the Word and applies it to their heart, the Holy Spirit gives them understanding, and in their heart they receive the Lord Jesus Christ and what God says in His Word, then the Holy Spirit will birth them into the family of God. That's what the new birth is. The heart must be willing and prepared soul. Now you can't trick them into getting saved. You can't coerce them into getting saved. You can't bribe them into getting saved. You can't manipulate them. I mean, they must willingly the seed sown in their heart, they must willingly receive it. And the seed must be sown in the heart and mind and soul. And the Holy Ghost must take the seed and give life. And when the heart receives Jesus willingly, and the Holy Spirit speaking to them, and they say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. When they, right then, they're born of the Spirit. And you can't always tell, but the life will show later on if they're born of the Spirit. And 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by what? The Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I'm looking at my time here. I'm still in pretty good shape, Brother Gary. But that's why I believe in the perfect, infallible, inspired Bible. We're born again of not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. I believe my old King James Version's incorruptible seed. I have my doubts about these other versions. Sorry about that. If you've got a NIV or NASV or whatever you got there tonight. Now I don't go as far as a lot of people that might do it, might not be. They don't think you can get saved. You don't get saved in them. Well, out of a King James, but John R. Rice, and I wouldn't call him a compromiser. And he had a sermon he preached all over America. A sermon out of a Catholic Bible, and had hundreds of Catholics saved and out of a Catholic Bible. So, but I still believe in the King James Version. It's the incorruptible seed sown in the heart and life of a person. I was in Indianapolis, Indiana, one summer when I was at Bob Jones. I worked up there in Indianapolis, and they Anthony Zioli. Anybody ever heard Anthony Zioli? Well, I heard him that summer, and he's a great evangelist. We had great, great revival there in Indianapolis. And he was saved when a little black boy came to the prison where he was and handed him a Gospel of John through the bars. And he got in there and read John 5:24. Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death and life. That's what in that cell, the seed got in the heart of Anthony Zioli, and he's born again and made a great evangelist. Now, let me mention a few marks of the spiritual man. He has a new nature, a new creation. He has a spirit nature now, along with the fleshly nature. The Holy Spirit comes in. When the Holy Spirit comes in to abide, he makes a big difference. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? New creature. after they're born again. Now, there might, it takes a little while maybe to help them grow, and you might not see much at first, but listen, if they get born again, there are going to be some changes made. I've seen my uncle, I've told you about him many times. He was burst drunk every single day. He got saved in a great revival in my hometown. Before I went off to college, I saw a great revival. I'd like to see. The only hope of America is not Trump. It's not Hillary. It's a great revival. That's the only thing to turn. We've turned from God in America. And you need what I'm saying tonight to help you in the days ahead. You need this. And let me get back. I don't even know where I was there. Where was I? New nature. The Christ. Yeah. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Then the new nature. Here's what the new nature is: Christ in you, the hope of glory. When the Holy Spirit convicts you, he comes in and represents, he's Christ representing in your heart. And so Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not you in the church or you in the baptistry, but Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then a third a mark of a spiritual man, he possesses right now, the moment you believe and are born again, he that, as 1 John 5:12 says, he that hath the Son hath what? Life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abides in him. So a real born-again Christian possesses eternal life right now. Right now. Then he's spiritually enlightened. First, let's go back to 1 Corinthians. You want to turn right quick there. And 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 2, if you haven't turned to it, let me just read it. Listen to me. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by what? His capital, S-P-I-R-I-T. For the capital, S-P-I-R-I-T, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So, those who have been born again can get to the spiritual level. And then, look down at verse 14 while you're still in 1 Corinthians there. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. Now, you can bring him to Sunday school, hopefully get saved, but he can't ever grow in the Lord because he doesn't have the Spirit to give him spiritual growth. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. You can get a PhD in here, and he couldn't understand spiritual truth at all. Get a man in here just barely can read. If he'd got the Holy Spirit within him, he can understand. The Holy Spirit will help him to understand spiritual things. Okay. Well, I'm getting through quicker than I thought I would, but I've got a time limit on the paper tonight. But I'm just going to preach a little bit on this regenerated man for you. Lock the doors back there on. Don't let anybody leave. When the new man is born into the heart, the old man doesn't die out or leave. Now, a regenerated child of God has two natures, as I've already said. And here's the thing that you need to know. They both fight to get the upper hand. That the spiritual man will fight with the old man to get the upper hand. They're in a constant warfare. Paul experienced that, and I won't have you to turn to Romans 7, but Paul experienced that when he said, I find the law that when I would do good, evil is present. I don't guess any of you ever had that problem with you. Sometimes I know what to do, the right thing, and I do the wrong thing. Now, I know you wouldn't do anything like that, but I give in to the old man. The Apostle Paul had the same experience that I have or you have. He said, when I would do good, evil is present. And that which I would do, he said, that I don't do. Now if you're saved, you know what it is. Old Paul had the same battles that you have and I have. Now there's five ways to conduct this warfare. First of all, realize that we are in a spiritual battle. Let me just, I'm just going to turn to this, and I won't have you to turn to Ephesians right quick here. Where are you, Ephesians? In 6, 11, and 12, it says, the Apostle Paul told the Ephesian Christians, put on the whole armor of God. Now listen closer to this, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What your fight is more than just a flesh and blood fight, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so what happened over in Vietnam, we are in a warfare we didn't intend to win. And that's happening in Afghanistan. We ought to get out or bomb the daylights out of them and clean them out, come on home. Our boys are dying over there foolishly. And it's the same with ISIS. We need to go in and clean them out, or they're going to send all some of their, we probably have thousands in America right now, potential bombers. So back to this, we need to realize that we're in a warfare. Then the second thing, we need to put no confidence in the flesh. That's what Paul said in Philippians 3:3. Don't put any confidence in a preacher flesh. I've seen too many preachers let me down. You have too. I hope, I don't want to let you down, but I might do it sometime. I've tried 46 years not to let you down. Don't put no confidence in the deacon flesh or husband flesh or wife flesh or son flesh or daughter flesh. No flesh. And not even you can't even put any confidence, folks, in your own flesh. You can't do it. The flesh will lead you wrong every time. If you follow the flesh, it'll lead you wrong every time. But I can do all things through Christ if I'll try to let the Spirit lead me and let the Word of God, let the Lord Jesus lead me. Then I can, if I'll just let the spiritual man lead me, I can make the right decisions. And now I'm going to get on a little negativism now. You wouldn't have to expect anything else from Preacher Lashley, I know. So I'm just going to just preach a little bit to you right here. I'm getting off my teaching. We need another thing, you notice, that I said we need to starve. Number three, we need to starve. If we're saved and regenerated and born again, this is negative now, but the Bible is full of thou shalt not. Do you know that? Oh, I believe in a positive Christianity. You don't have the same Bible I've got then. There's positives, thank God for that, but there's a lot of negatives. And we need to starve this old flesh. I must starve my flesh of evil things to stay holy. Just keep away from them. The Bible says to Christians, to God's people, be ye holy. Why? For I, the Lord God, am holy. Now, I believe that you'll never have any power with God unless you live a holy life, unless you live a separated godly life. Now, you can be saved, but you never have any power with God. I want to please God. Sometimes I don't. And I want to every now and then feel the presence of God, don't you? Don't you want to feel His presence? Well, you can't do it and live in the world, folks. You're going to have to come out of the world. Now, let me apply what I said. When I think a Christian has no business on a dance floor. I've preached that ever since I've been here. I've told you, I've kicked my leg out here and said a dancing foot and a praying leg don't go on the same, a praying knee doesn't go on the same leg. And I still believe that. My old daddy would never let me go to the dance. And I knew better if he found out he whipped the daylights out of him. But when I got off to college, I had to make my own decisions. When I went off to college down in Mississippi, junior college, played football, the Lord started, I believe, calling me to preach through my junior and senior years in high school. And I got down to, I better hurry on this one, I'm getting running out of time, but I'm going to give you these two. And to show you how I had to make my own decisions about dancing. And I was playing football there in junior college, and two boys from Mobile, we had an open date one Saturday, and they wanted me to go down to Mobile with them, and they got me a date. Now, Ellen, you keep your, you you can go to sleep right here just now. And it scared me, though. They had two girls, and the date I had, they took me to her house, and the parents were gone. Well, as soon as we got in there, she turned the music on, and the other two boys grabbed their girls and started dancing. Well, I was all thumbs. I didn't know what to do. And she said, "Would you like to dance?" I said, "I can't." She said, "Would you like to teach you? And I said, "Yes." See, right there, the devil tried to get me starting down a dancing, worldly life right there. And I got up, and I was all thumbs, and I didn't know what to do. And I tried it about 30 seconds. That's my dancing experience. I sat down. I said, "I believe I'll sit down." And then, show you what dancing, I found out dancing this. She went out, and she said, "What do you all want to drink?" Everybody sat down. And she said, I said, "What do you have?" She said, "Well, Pepsi Cola and Coke, Orange Crush, some beer that I didn't know anything about. I believe it's Jack's. And that's just a local beer down there." And when she told me beer, those old two old boys just cackled. And so the next day, when we went back on the campus, the old boys told all the football team about me, and all the football players kept saying, "Hey, Sonny, how about a Jack's?" And you know what? It sort of made me feel bad. But you know what? The president of the college was a saved man, good Baptist. And he come by and said, "Mr. Lashley, I'm proud of you that you didn't drink beer down there and you didn't dance." And even the athletic director did. So then when we got down, got about 5 minutes, so I'm gonna get on this. So when I got down to Southern Mississippi, we played the homecoming game against Memphis State. We just beat them by one touchdown. I was on left guard all night long on offense, and I was wore out. I'll hurry this up. But afterwards, I took a shower and walked out of the stadium there over to the sidewalk to the left, took us down to the homecoming dance. And there, most of them were going down there. And I thought, well, I think I'll just go down there, because I didn't want to go back to the empty dormitory. But I walked out there, and I believe the Holy Spirit told me, "Gene, don't go to that dance, and I'll make it up to you." So I turned. If I'd have gone down to that dance, I'd have probably started a worldly lifestyle, never been gotten a ministry, and missed this church and missed this good woman over here. If I'd have followed that worldly crowd, I went up and gotten in a dormitory by myself. So there's some negative. There's some things you ought to do. Let's see. I got 4 minutes left here. Let me quickly. If we feed our soul on junk food, we'll never grow in the Lord. And the old man will get the upper hand. And Romans 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Wherefore," listen folks, "wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." If you want the power of God in your life, if you want to every now and then feel his presence, you're going to have a holy life and separated life. Now, none of us are perfect now. Now, you don't have to agree with Preacher Lashley on what's wrong, what's right. But what the Holy Spirit tells you to do, you ought not do it. Then, but let me give you, I've persecuted you there now. Let me give you feed the new nature. Now this is, I've got 2 minutes to finish this thing. But folks, the answer is, first of all, separation, and then get in the Word of God every day. I don't care, you can come dedicate your life to every service, I won't help you, unless you get in the Word of God. I started reading the Bible through when I was 15, been doing it every year since then. I'd get up early in the morning, married this girl over here, and she got up at 3:30 every morning, so I had to start getting up at 3:30 every morning. So, but the thing is, separate yourself, live a separated life, get in the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." I was saved at 13, born again, got in the Word at 15, started reading it through every year. Folks, I'm glad that the right people led me in those things. And get in the Word every day the rest of your life, and God will bless you. Then there's another thing. Number five there. Walk in the Spirit. You know what every one of us ought to do every day? Beg God to fill us with the Spirit. Folks, there's a Holy Ghost out there. There's a Spirit, Holy Spirit. And we need the precious Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and direct us. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I got 1 minute. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Now, folks, I don't know when I'll ever preach again here, but I want to urge you, get born again if you're not born again. And then separate yourself from the world. Start reading the Word of God. And then pray that the Holy Spirit will fill you. We need a separated life. We need the filling of the Spirit. How many, I'm not going to give an invitation, but just as I, right before I pray, I've got to leave one more minute. How many say, Brother Lashley, I am born again. And I want to live in victory. I want the Lord to be real to me. And I'm willing to separate myself. I'm willing to get in the Word of God. And I want to be filled with the Spirit. How many of you want that for your life? Just wave your hand. Wave your hand. Father, I've tried. Lord, you called me many years ago. And I know what I said is the truth tonight. God, I pray that these dear people, those who are born again, will, Lord, crucify the flesh daily. And Lord, get in the Word. And Lord, then fill them with the blessed Holy Spirit. We know they can be more than conquerors through him that loved them, if they'll do this. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Bless the pastors as a way of bringing back safely. Thank you for the good trip to Fiji that we heard about. And just keep your hand on our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to have an invitation. Okay, bow your heads again. Ladies, play one stanza. If you need to come, I surrender all. You come on. God spoke to your heart. You need to be in this altar. Come on. Get with the Lord. One of the great things about being in Fiji, we had no TV, and the woman dressed right. Sure made it a lot easier to have right thoughts and live for the Lord, I tell you what. If you need to come, we got one stanza. You come quickly.
Let me just step back up here. Why don't we just, you that want a Spirit-filled life and want to be filled with the Spirit and walk with God, could just come to the altar right quick. Let's close, have a closing word prayer. Come on, you that, I want to be filled with the Spirit. And I want to walk with God. I want God to use me. I don't want to just live a fleshly life. I want God to bless me. Just come on. Just come on. Brother Gary, can I just go ahead and pray again?
Yes, sir.
Father, thank you for these dear people that's come. I know many couldn't come, Lord, because of physical ailment or something like that. But, Lord, help us to humble ourselves before God. Lord, forgive us where we fail. God, help us to get in your Word and not only be separate from the world, but get in the Word of God and build ourselves up in the Word of God. And then, Lord, I pray, breathe upon each one of us by your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. And oh, that way we can be more than overcomers through him that loved us. Lord, bless. Breathe upon them. Everyone here in this altar, I pray tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.